Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh yeah. Happy, happy hour. Come on! Mink Stole is here!
Yes! Woo!
From every John Waters movie ever, and just from general political activism and awesomeness.
Yeah.
We are so excited about this.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. It is a good day. It is a very good day.
I know we're recording this right after the Blue Wave vote,
right,
which was so fantastic. Mm-hmm. Can I just say, this is the funniest thing I've ever read on a Wikipedia entrance. Mink Stole. This article is about the actress for the clothing item. See, fur clothing.
My name is a politically incorrect noun.
Yeah.
So I've done all the wrong prep. I apologize. I thought you were an article of clothing.
I know my name is like being called Dixie Cup or Paper Plate.
Right.
But it's just that it is, you know, it is what it is.
No, I actually, because I asked, your name is Nancy, but I didn't.
Yes, it is.
But I didn't. I was like,
it's
does
Nancy
she go by
Stole.
Mink? Right.
Oh, no, I go by Mink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Can we just do it? Because this is so, because this is the regular show, but without the happy hour, so we can fucking swear.
Okay.
So. We have to, because of course we were watching, you know, the Mink Stole Film Festival, but we had to start with this from our favorite scene ever from Serial Mom with Kathleen Turner. This is you and Kathleen Turner.
Hello?
Is this the cocksucker residence?
Mm-hmm. God damn you, stop calling here.
Isn't this 4215 Pussy Way?
You bitch!
Now let me check the zip code. 212, fuck you!
The police are tracing this call this very minute.
Well, Donnie Hinkle, then why aren't they here, huh? Fuckface, fuck you!
Yeah.
Rockstar cheers.
Yes.
And then, of course, she calls back. And, okay.
But
we had a good time.
We've
been using that drop, the police are tracing this call this very minute, for 20 years now on this particular show.
Well, good.
Yeah.
And we have, like, right-wing assholes threatening us.
The police are tracing this call.
The very minute.
Exactly.
Was that as much fun to make
it
as it
was
looked
so
like?
Much fun. And later in the movie, there's a courtroom scene where I get to call her a cocksucker. A cocksucker pig fucker. And I have to tell you, calling who, you know, at the time, she was one of the biggest movie stars in America.
Right.
And to be able to call her that, you're a cocksucker pig fucker, was huge for me. I mean, it was a highlight of my career.
Oh my God. So we just wanted to do it. And then she calls back and pretends to be the police and makes you say what exactly the dirty
pussy
call is
said willow.
To you.
Yes.
Yeah, she makes me say pussy willow. Listen to your dirty mouth, you filthy whore. That's what she says. We did. I really like Kathleen. She's a terrific actor and she is a really good sport.
Yeah. No, she seems like, and you know, I love as she's aged and become this grande dame of theater and acting. I love that, I can't remember who she was answering about something about, you know, look like you looked in body heat. She goes, get the fuck over it. I'm not 30 anymore.
Right. No, she's actually, she just did an episode of the Kaminsky Method that was,
that's right.
And she, you know, she's got a lot of physical problems. She's got terrible arthritis and you know, so she's bigger, she's heavier, she's heavier.
Sure.
She takes medications, but she's a terrific actress. I've seen her in lots of things and she's really good.
But I thought that was this primal scream for women of a certain age to go, fuck you. Women don't look the same at 60 as they did at fucking 20.
Get over it.
Exactly. I have to say, John Waters has said you were his favorite actor, his the best actress he's ever worked with.
Well, you know, he says that now because I'm the last one living from the old days.
He just makes a list. Oh, I'm dead.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
I'm the same soul.
So I'll start talking nice about her now. Yeah.
But I think you're the one of two that has been in every John Waters film.
I've been in every feature. He's made three shorts that I'm not in.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, the very first, when I met him, he had made one movie. He had made this movie called Hag in a Black Leather Jacket that was 10 minutes long, and it was a black man and a white woman getting married by a Ku Klux Klan person on the roof of his mother's house.
Provocative.
So, yes, provocative. Yes. Well, he was always out for,
exactly.
You know, to stir things up.
Yep.
And then he made a couple of short movies in the late 60s.
Yeah, just the names of the films.
Hag in a Black Leather Jacket and Eat Your Makeup.
Yep.
Eat Your Makeup and the Diane Linklater story.
That's right.
Yeah.
You also played, you were in another gay movie in which you played Sloppy Seconds.
Yes, well, yeah. But, you know, I didn't get in, I was cut.
Oh.
Yeah, my scene was cut. And
Sloppy Seconds then?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been in so many gay movies, I can't even remember them all. And that's the truth. You know, I mean, it's really.
And
it's,
yet
it's,
you are not gay because handsome gentleman behind you, you've already revealed, is your boyfriend?
He is my boyfriend. Yes, he is.
Evil! All right. My boyfriend!
Who you also
you coming, did you?
Who you also revealed has a little crush on me, huh?
Yeah.
Hi, handsome. How are you?
I wasn't supposed to tell you that.
Uh-oh.
Oh, too late now.
I know. No sex for me.
But no, wait. You've never married. You have no kids.
I have no children. Thank you.
Me too.
Deliberately.
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah.
Deliberately no children.
Yeah. Well, maybe
and deliberately not married. I've had opportunities.
Right. Oh, I bet you have. You saucy little minx.
Absolutely.
You potty mouth little minx. I'm going to guess it's because you grew up in a family of 10 children.
That's true. That is correct.
We're Catholic family.
Catholic.
Yes.
Catholic. Yes.
Yeah, but is that why you're like, this is fucking crowded? I'm not having any of these.
It's just like, I know how much trouble children can be. And I don't want that. I'm way too selfish. I'm way too egotistical. I am not interested in having to sacrifice.
I've said that to my mom. I'm like, this sucks, Mom. Why would you want to do this? This is awful.
Yeah. My mother was pregnant for 7.5 years of her life.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Wow. So that's a lot of kids.
That's a lot.
Okay. But you also talked about that how you bonded with John Waters, both being disaffected
Catholics. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Both of us. By the time we met, we were both angry. As Catholics.
But this is what I love about it. You said it was wonderful for me to be able to channel that really serious anger I had toward Catholicism into something that didn't hurt anybody. It pissed my mother off, but that was just a side perk. And you talked about it's much easier to play mean than it is to play nice.
Well, it is.
What's funny on screen is not funny in real life. Nobody really enjoys bitchy friends. But this is what I always say, right? The nicest people, which you famously are the best at playing really mean motherfuckers.
Because we're so nice all the time and it gets really tedious.
Yeah.
So, you know, every now and then it's really nice to just let it out.
Yeah.
Just let it rip.
Yeah.
And so, but you know, as long as it's written on the page so you can't be held responsible for it.
Exactly.
Right. Right. You're like, I'm supposed to call you a pig fucker.
Yes. Supposed to say that.
But that's an interesting psychological thing that you get because we all have that in us, you know, that you go like, oh, it's a good way to get that out without actually being that in real life.
Yeah, without being responsible for it. And I mean, I can. The only time when I'm really nasty is behind the wheel of a car.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
two people who can't
hear me.
That's right.
And,
right.
You know, so that's fine.
Yeah. Oh, no, I've been in the car with people like that never swear and they're just like,
and they're, yeah.
You cut me off, you pig fucker!
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dickwad, right, fuck face.
Because people think they're invisible in their cars, like, and
not.
No one can.
No, they're not.
Right, you can't see you picking your nose. Nothing. People just think like, it's. So, do you know? Wait, you don't live in Baltimore?
I do still.
So you're just
well, not still. I lived here for a long time.
Yeah,
I lived in New York for a long time, but then I moved back to Baltimore in 2007.
Yeah,
and it was the best decision I ever made. I have worked more since I moved back to Baltimore than I did when I was here.
That's awesome.
And the cost of living is probably a lot nicer.
And what's that?
Cost of living is probably.
Oh. I have an apartment in Baltimore that I could never afford here.
I just was going to tell you this. This is how I also relate to you. Catholic school, and when I went back to Lockport, New York, my hometown, for my last reunion or something, I thought God, I was so tempted. First of all, I'm like, I can buy the whole block I grew up on. But secondly, like, all of my friends' childhood and high school live within. So I went for a walk, and I'm like, you know, hey, Barb, oh, my God, Tracy's here.
I walk up the street to the store, and I run into my neighbors, and I have, you know, it takes me half an hour to get from one to the other. Yeah. On foot, a block.
I know. No, I seriously thought,
my friends
this
are
is...
5 minutes away. It took me an hour to get here this morning.
Yep.
Yeah. I know. But yeah, you said someone asked you, what's the appeal of living in Baltimore? I live up on the street that I grew up on.
That's
I
true.
Live across the street from my childhood home.
I live
when
across
I was
the
home, I was like, I could see doing this. Like this,
And I have friends that are literally 5 minutes away. It's I'll drop this off or I'll pick this up or can I come get you?
Yeah.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
The life there is so easy.
I have another friend that moved to a smaller town that lived in LA. It's the same thing. It's like all my friends are like walking distance practically.
Yeah.
And and for those of us maybe that grew up in a small town, there's just something cool about that.
There's something really, really nice about it. I have lovely friends here, people that I really care about, but they're an hour.
Yeah.
You know,
everything's
from door to door. It used to be 20 minutes.
Yeah.
When I first moved here, I moved here in 89, and it was like 20 minutes
so
door to door. I know.
People think that, and then you're like, oh, and in 1983 it was.
Yeah, it was. But no, not anymore. But it is, it's like 5 minutes door to door from my friends in Baltimore.
Yeah. No, I totally get it. Wait, so you used to write a column, Think Mink, an advice column for the Baltimore paper.
I did. For the Baltimore City paper, which was sort of the LA Weekly of Baltimore. Right.
How do I think more Mink?
You just mind your own fucking business.
That
was basically my advice to everybody.
Other than stealing your boyfriend, do you have any advice for my love life? Which is barren like my womb.
I think don't you like really inappropriately aged women? Did I hear that somewhere?
I
think I
had the
that.
One girlfriend that was 17 years younger, but that's the only one.
Okay, because I heard that rumor from somewhere that you liked really, really inappropriate. And I just don't understand how you can have a conversation with people like that.
There was only one.
So,
could you please get back out there and dispel that rumor?
Okay.
Most
Stephanie
women have been my age. The one with, and I broke up with her. You know why? Because
why?
I said Carol Burnett's my lifetime idol, and she said, "Oh, she's really mean." And I was like,
"How?
Oh, you only
Carol
saw
Burnett
her. You only saw her in Annie, right?" She goes, "Yeah." I'm like, "Yeah, she had a show." Okay, get out. She had a show before that.
Yeah, she's been around a minute.
Yeah. I remember we met Meredith Baxter. She's like, "Oh my God, Mrs. Keaton." I'm like, "You don't know about Bridget Loves Bernie, do you?"
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I never saw Bridget Loves Bernie either, but I do know Meredith Baxter.
There you go. So I probably everybody asks you this. Is there, where do we start? Pink Flamingos. Connie Marvel, the carrot.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Domed villain complete with outlandish cat eyeglasses and seedy fur coat.
Yep.
Set the tone.
Mm. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Tantrum throwing girl child Taffy Davenport in Female Trouble.
Mm-hmm. My favorite.
Murderous housewife on the lam. Peggy
Gravel.
Gavel, yep. Right. In Desperate Living. Hairspray. Crybaby. Serial Mom, of course. Is it hard to pick a favorite? Do you have a favorite?
No, I do have favorites. And Taffy, the tantrum child in Female Trouble, was my absolute favorite.
My husband and I just watched that a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
By the way, I think Todd Phillips' Joker movie is based on...
Taffy Davenport.
It's based, I think...
I haven't seen it.
He says Taxi Driver and King of Comedy. No.
It's Female Trouble. I think of John's films in general, Female Trouble is his masterpiece of the early films and Serial Mom of the later ones.
I think so.
And John agrees. You know, that's
kind
of, I think Serial Mom.
I often want to kill people that wear
white shoes after
Labor Day.
But Hairspray was such a cultural.
Well, Hairspray is.
It took on a life of its own.
It's sweet.
Yeah, it is. Well, it was his first PG movie.
Yeah, but there's a sweetness and a heart about Hairspray that is just, it's so charming. And when Ricky Lake appears in our lives and she's like, Ricky Lake, by the way, is a lovely human. She's just a wonderful woman. And, you know, but she was just a 16-year-old puppy dog.
Right.
Yeah.
She was so sweet.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And she, you know, the weird thing was that she kept trying to lose weight. And everybody said, no.
No.
Here's ice cream. Here's cake.
Can I tell you this? I know I could live in my hometown, but I could not live in the South. The story that told me I cannot live, because I go to visit my mom, my 96-year-old mom in Charlotte, North Carolina. And one time I met her best friend, Betsy, and I think they had just gone to see Hairspray the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I just have to tell you, it hurt my heart to see John Travolta playing a woman.
Well, that's the hairspray.
I was like, okay, right. You know that he's not a... All right, never mind.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the hairspray that isn't our hairspray.
Right.
I know.
You know, there was hairspray, then there was a play, then there was a hairspray.
Yeah.
And I think they should have named it Hairspray-est or Hairspray-ish or right. Hairspray-next or something. Right. You know, but to just take the title I thought was interesting.
Yeah. 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 No, and exactly. So I just love how they describe... Let me read your... IMDb 2. Part of the original motley crew of cast players and underground shock master John Waters' bare bones 8mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Perversions, they called them, during the late 60s and early 70s. Mink Stoll was born Nancy Stoll in the 1940s in Baltimore, Maryland. Waters took you under his wing in 1966. Wow.
That's true. That's when we met.
What?
Where did you meet?
Provincetown.
Okay.
Cape Cod.
Provincetown. Yeah. Awesome. Cape Cod. I saw that.
Yeah. I had gone up to visit my sister who was living there. Mm-hmm. Well, she wasn't living there. She was there for the summer. And I liked it a lot, so I stayed. Mm-hmm. And she and I were just walking down the street one day, and there was John, and she had met him. She knew him briefly in Baltimore. So by the end of the summer, all of us were living together. We had found this place that had been sort of hand-built at the edge of town by this old man named Prescott Townsend. Huh. Literally hand-built out of driftwood and cracked bottles.
Wow.
And we lived there, and it was fabulous. And then at the end of the summer, actually, John and I moved to New York together. We had an apartment for a month.
I saw that.
In New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. But New York terrified me.
Yeah, me too.
And so, and John was homesick, and I was terrified, so we moved back to Baltimore.
Yeah.
You know, him with his mom. You know, he moved in back in with his parents. Yeah. I moved back in with my mother. I mean, that's how young we were.
Sure.
We were children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he didn't have a mustache.
Wow.
You know, it was pre. My sister actually taught him how to do his mustache.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So that's cool.
Okay. So we have two stage things in common. You starred in one of my very favorite plays ever, Sister Mary Ignatius Explains It All.
Oh, yeah.
That is one of the only plays I've fallen into the aisle laughing. Christopher Durang was my favorite playwright in college and stuff. Yeah. But that play, especially if you went to Catholic school, is so fucking hilarious.
Yeah. It's so dated now, you really can't do it anymore.
Right.
You know, but it was fun.
Yeah.
I had a good time.
I love that. What's the, does God answer all our prayers? Like when you're answering letters and you're like, yes, sometimes the answer is no.
Sometimes the answer is no.
Well, I was taught that. And then you kept listing like horrible things that would happen to you, and God, can I?
You know, I've actually almost forgotten the whole play, but I remember. Yeah. I remember the night that my gun didn't work.
Oh no!
it's a little dark. The play.
Boom! You know, I'm supposed to shoot.
She slaughters a bunch of people.
You know, I'm shooting a child, and it doesn't work. So I go over and hit him over the head with it. Well, you got to make it
work.
Sure.
Improv.
Yeah.
So. Sister Mary Ignatius pistol whips child to death.
Exactly.
It's improv.
You do what you gotta
do. And okay. Yes, and is the child still dead? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And you're out here to do one of my other favorite women behind bars.
Yes.
I saw it at the Roxy. I don't even know when it was. It's so fucking hilarious. You're doing it with a lot of RuPaul drag race people and Tracy Lords.
Tracy Lords, yes. Tracy Lords and Eureka. And Coco Peru.
Oh, wow.
And I love Coco.
Yeah.
I think Coco's great. And Tracy, of course, I've known since Crybaby, which we just realized 30 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Thank you very much. It's horrifying. It's just horrifying.
That play is so hilarious. I cannot wait to see you in it.
It's going
to
be fun. Well, I play Granny. I'm the one that gets to sit all the time. I have a rocking chair.
And wait a minute. The matron is, hang on a second.
Eureka.
Yes. Okay. And Tracy Lords is Gloria.
Yes.
I love this play.
I think it's going to be fun. We had a great photo shoot the other day to do, you know, promo for it.
Right.
So I think it's going to be really a lot of fun. So I got to meet the whole cast.
January and February out here at the Montalban, which...
There in the middle of Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah. Great theater. I cannot wait. The thing I didn't know about you until Chris told me is that you're also... Because when I came in, I'm wearing my Blue Wave thing, and you were like, woohoo, great day. Is it you're a huge political activist as well?
Well, I don't know about huge political activists. I've certainly been a progressive liberal my entire life and have been... I think we've probably passed at marches on many occasions.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not... I'm not, you know, the political activist that you are. I don't have a platform for it.
My friend Peter interviewed you. I think it was like the late 80s or something like that. And he said that you had marched maybe with some ACT UP.
My brother was an actual member of ACT UP. Okay. My brother, George, George Stoll, he's an artist and he lives here. And he's he was a member of ACT UP. I mean, I was in New York during the bulk of the AIDS crisis. And, you know, my activism wasn't, I mean, I did the marching, but I was one of the quieter behind the scenes people. I would do my work, you know, in AIDS wards.
I was just going to say, but isn't that where most of our activism came from? I mean, I always say my high school boyfriend died of AIDS. He was one of the first guys to die of AIDS, you know, before there was the cocktail, before we really even knew what it was. He had to come out to his family and tell them he had AIDS at the same time. And so how can you not be an activist when you're working with John Waters and you were losing all of the, I'm from Buffalo. We lost, Michael Bennett, Chorus Line, you know.
Oh, yeah. I lost Charles Ludlam, who was a wonderful downtown writer, director, you know, that I had worked with in New York. And, you know, but New York was a mortuary.
Yeah.
You know, it was a terrible place to live. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons I left and came here.
Yeah.
And, of course, I came here, met all these wonderful people, and then they all died. I mean, AIDS was terrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it was confirmed later that we were right about Reagan, that if AIDS had made rich white Republican men's dicks fall off, they would have cured it.
They would have cured
overnight.
It. Overnight.
Yeah. Is there a disease like that?
Wouldn't that be fun?
By the way, we're not wishing any pain or anything.
No, absolutely not.
Just by magic, they just start. Just start falling.
They're not that big.
Yes, there's a mosquito we could breathe.
But
yeah,
did you ever, I mean, I know we're talking about Reagan, Bush. I mean, you've been doing this for so, could you ever fucking imagine anything like this orange monstrosity?
Absolutely not. And it's just, I mean, we thought Bush was the worst president we could ever have, ever.
Yeah,
we
we're like, that. Oh, he was just a
I'd
war
take
criminal.
Him back in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat, please.
He's just a stupid war criminal.
Just, he's just an idiot. But this one is, I mean, I have two fantasies. I mean, the one is of Trump with the perp walk. I want to see the perp walk. I really do that. And the other one, I just like to see his head explode.
Yeah.
Just absolutely explode like a Warner Brothers. Yes, like a Warner Brothers cartoon. Yeah.
Mars attack. Something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Yeah. Well, that might be coming
that could
soon
happen.
After the vote, the blue wave vote we just had.
Yeah.
God knows, you said the funniest thing this morning when you said that, what's his name from Kentucky? What's Mitch?
Yes.
Moscow Mitch.
Yes.
Shit in his shell.
Yeah, he shit in his shell.
Yeah, that made me laugh.
Thank you. Thank you. We specialize in the poo of
the
humor
scatological
around
humor.
Here. Yeah. Which is why I'm going to have to steal your boyfriend, because apparently you've put it out there that I run a pedophile ring. And
I did not
No
say
wonder
that.
I haven't had a date. I do not date inappropriate. What do you mean by inappropriately aged?
17 years younger.
17 years younger.
That's why I broke up with
tough.
Her. She's still my friend. She was just at my party. She's too young for me. Right. We were not a fit, but I love her.
No, you can be friends with people who are younger.
Thank you. Yeah. All of my girlfriends have only been a few years younger, like two, three, four, five at
you
the
sound
most.
Defensive.
Oh, no.
I'm not defensive. You're defensive.
Stephanie, it's okay.
I haven't even met anyone I'm attracted to in like 3 or 4 years because Mink Stoll's fucking telling
everybody
that I'm a goddamn Girl Scout fucker.
Right. So, brownie fucker.
All right, I'm not a brownie fucker, you pig fucker.
Wow.
Woo. It got dark.
It's got dark.
Settle down, ladies. We're going to spread you out.
Now that we're friends, I'm gonna do those prank calls to her every day. Cocksucker, what are you wearing?
I'm not giving you her phone number.
Come on, it'll be funny. We'll reenact the Kelly Turner call. What a delight this has been. We've been so excited about this.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I've been really excited about it. Tom has been really excited about
it. Hi, Tom.
I know, he's cute, isn't he?
Yeah.
And I've been excited about it. Big fan for a long time.
Thank you so much.
Ago.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my God,
I've been working since before you were born.
I know. I do
have to say that.
Yes. We're such radio nerds that literally, when he first said, oh, remember the police are tracing this call, that's her. And I was like, oh my God! That lady, Mink Stoll. I know of people from radio soundbites. I'm like, oh my God, that thing we play for right-wing callers.
Yeah.
The police are tracing this call this very minute.
Yep. Like,
there we go.
Those are the biggest stars in my universe, people that star in my soundbites.
You're in the box.
Right, and that soundbite is so old, you can hear the VHS hum.
Yes. You have been lovingly in my box for so long, despite your filthy rumor mongering.
I'm going to start telling everybody that you only date grandmothers. And we'll just
no, they're all younger.
Out.
Oh. They're all younger, but just a few years.
Just a few.
Just a few. Just a few. Okay.
Not
well, there aren't
generation.
That many people alive that are your age.
All right. You know what? You can just fuck right off. You can fuck right off. You know why? Oh, well, Travis, you know who's calling the pig farm because they missed their fucker. We love you.
Wow.
Mink Stoll, go do everything she tells you to do. Go see her in Women Behind Bars if you're out here in L.A. How do we follow you on Twitter or whatever?
I tweeted this morning for the first time in months. I just shut down my website. I hate social media. But right. I will be putting something up. I do have Facebook.
All right. Awesome. And we'll be plugging this up, all the bejesus out of this.
Yes, we
well, thank you so much.
Despite your pig fuckery.
It's going to be really fun.
Tom.
The play's going to be really,
and you're
going to
be back out here. What dates is it running?
It's the last weekend of January and the first weekend of February.
All right. So to L.A.
Tom,
in
my,
LA,
be, my bedroom's the first one on the right. Bedroom, my bedroom's first one on the right. I'll meet you up there.
Okay.
Ha ha.
Ha ha.
Go fuck yourself.
Hey, this is Ryan Knight, and if you've enjoyed this podcast, you're going to love my podcast, Amped Up with Proud Resister, where we dive deep into progressive issues, Trump's crimes.
And we have great guests like Rosie O'Donnell, Rob Reiner, and Malcolm Nance.
Such a name dropper.
Oh, you know.
So come on and join us at Amped Up with Proud Resister on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network.